Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the many, many things that we have. The many blessings. It is incredible what you do for us. We're just plain thankful. So many things. We thank you for the promises of eternal life with Jesus Christ. And this is just amazing and wonderful. Here we are in the last days, and we do just plain give you thanks. Thank you, Father. And help us to understand what it is that we want and that we need in the last days that we are living in. Certainly, we have many things that we want and many things that we need and many things that we can do for other people. So just help us to know what to do. Be with us, Lord. Lord God, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and give thanks. Always. Oh, yes, Lord. We are thankful for the many things that you provide us. So, in these days, what do we do to be prepared for? It's a question which everybody has their own answer. Firstly, we are prepared in a spiritual way, and we give thanks to God and look forward to our spiritual, eternal life with Jesus Christ in that heavenly place. So, yes, Lord, thank you for that. So many good things. And that is one of them that we have to look forward to. It is the hope of the future that we just plain give thanks for. Oh, yes, indeed we do. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I think about the things that we are dealing with in our society and in the things that are going on. We just have all sorts of things. And we want there to be revival in the world and people that are faithful to Christ. And that's just plain and simple what we do. We pray for revival, yes, in our community, yes, in our country, yes, in our world. And a part of that just might be that we are going to be repenting ourselves and doing the best we know how to live faithfully to God through Jesus Christ. And now there's different passages that tell us how good it is to do this or that. And goodness is good. I mean, it's good to do good things. And it doesn't mean that it has to do with our salvation. It probably doesn't. It just means that we get to do some good things. So God help us to understand this. Oh, yes, we pray for that too. I'm certainly always going back to some Bible verses that I like especially well. And somehow, where is that? And it tells us that we are to be born again to see the kingdom of God. And this is one of the things that I like to use that to remember, just like I like Matthew 22:37. To love God and love your neighbor. There's just things that I like. And we have a world in front of us that is not a godly system. If you look at the rich people of the world that we look up to so much, the millionaires, the billionaires, the people who have excess money, we say, oh, I would like to be like them. Well, I don't know. having a lot of money is not always such a great thing. And we do have a lot of money concerns, which is what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about all that all the time, money. And it says not to borrow money, for instance, because money must be paid back. That was Exodus 22 and Psalm 37. They talk about you have to pay your money loans back. So what are we doing with our nation when we are borrowing beyond our ability to repay? That is what we are doing. And is this going to be a problem because we are dealing, working, and doing things against God's principles? Yeah, I think it will lead to some pretty serious consequences. And what they will be, now that I don't know. We could look in the Bible for other countries and examples, or ancient Israel, that have done those things when they have debased their currency or taken the value away from their currency. That's something that we are doing. We are doing that right now. And it is making it so that our money buys less and less. Some people call that inflation. In a way it is. But really what it is a reduction of the value of our currency. So what are we going to do about this? Well, stabilize our money, not have debt. Sure, all these things. So let's look at what the effects are if we don't do it. Well, you know the effects. I mean, look at Revelation 18. It talks about the judgment that is coming in 1 hour. Yeah, that's a big question. Is it going to be a war? Is it going to be a nuclear bomb on that Babylon? For Babylon, we've got several Babylons going on. There's ancient Babylon. There's mystery Babylon. There's a question of if America is Babylon because it has fields of grain, unfenced cities, and a deep port. So that's a good question, too, speaking about that deep port. Oh, Babylon, New York. There's only two Babylons in the world. One is Babylon in the Middle East and ancient Babylon, and the other one is Babylon, New York, which is across from New York City. And then we have that Revelation 18 where it says the destruction will come in 1 hour. It repeats that. Destruction will come in 1 hour. Are we Babylon? Well, it sure could be. It sure could be. But I don't mean to tell you I know it is. It's just something we look at possibilities and try to understand what it is that we are about, what it is that we are going to face in the future. Do we really know? Of course we don't know. We don't know. And that's why we have our preparedness measures, which includes food and water. A food of long-lasting food or grains and such as that, and water like a water filter. We also have to be concerned with staying warm enough. And the biggest thing for that is to have heat. A stove, for instance. But the first layer of warmth is your clothes. So you have clothes, and you have a watchman's kind of cap that is like a stocking cap to keep your head warm. I mean, that's just one of the things we do when we consider that there could be old problems going on. What do we do if we have real problems? Well, we have a storehouse of items, just like the Egyptians did. Oh, you know, Joseph in ancient Egypt, he had a storehouse of corn and wheat and grain. And that's what fed Egypt for the 7 bad years. 7 years of plentiful harvest and 7 years of famine. So this is the kind of things that we are going to be watchful of, that we can survive a time of difficulty. It's just one of the sensible things we do. Sensible, just like we are sensible with our money and our economy. I mean, we don't have loans. We don't want to have loans. Where is this? There's a passage in the Bible that says the borrower is servant to the lender. So we have to be careful that we are not borrowing money unnecessarily. And we are, the United States, are getting involved with other poor countries all over the place, of European, of Chinese areas that are not of the same Christian belief system, not the same economic system. And there is a chance that one day we are going to become very hurt by it. Now, there are people who are the elite of the world. I know I've named some of them, and they are just predicting a great recession, a depression, worse than the 1930s depression. I know, let's see, Baron Rothschild was one of them. Oh, this was about 4 years ago, but he said that there would be a depression worse than the great one, the Great Depression in America. Things are going to happen. Do we exactly know what they are? No, we don't. We don't know what is exactly going to happen or the time frames. But we can see that there are things going on that really could affect us, and some things won't. I mean, for instance, do you think that the 230 million Chinese who are now under lockdown, do you think that's going to affect us? Well, maybe not. But if we don't get the things that we have expected or depended on from China, we can only guess what the real effect will be. It would be pretty serious. I mean, we know what it's like to not have what we need. We know what it's like to go to the store and have them tell us, oh, we don't know when that shipment is coming in. Yes, we've ordered it, but we have no idea if it will be a week, a month, or many months. Check it out. You'll see that's what the stores are saying. So what is going to happen with the United States economy and our expectations? I can only guess, just like you can only guess. It's going to be interesting. There are unknown things going on with in many areas. Oh, here's one. You know, there's the vaccine that was an experimental vaccine. We don't exactly know what'll happen. And those 230 million Chinese that are locked down are there because there was COVID-19 found among certain workers. So the government just sent people home and said, you cannot come to work. You have to stay in your home. That's what this kind of lockdown is about in China. There are people who want to see the health officials or would be able to have lockdowns all across the world to prevent epidemics, pandemics. And so they are seeking this control, even here in the United States. Oh, will it happen? I mean, we don't know. We really don't know. But we know that there are people who want to see it happen. And that is what we have to be prepared for and consider what would happen if. That's why the idea of the storehouse, whether it's a Joseph storehouse with wheat and grain or some other storehouse, is a good thing to have. Everybody has a different idea of what we need. Well, we need flashlights and hammers and nails and screws and pliers. Yeah, well, I'm sure we will at some point. We need things like seeds and gardening tools. Yeah, I think we will need those too. Speaking of seeds, you would want to get heritage seeds because you can collect seeds from the plant and replant them the next year. So many seeds nowadays are a type of hybrid seed that will not produce the fruit that it came from. It won't produce the vegetable that it came from. You can plant some of these hybrid seeds, let's say of squash or of beans, and you plant the seeds in something different, something other than the same kind of plant comes up. Now, I don't mean just a different kind. I don't mean you get a flower instead of a bean plant, but you get something that might not produce beans or squash or whatever it is. That's why you want to have some of those heritage seeds that you can store the seeds and replant them the next year. That's what I think it's good for everyone to have some of. And if we're talking about gardens, let's talk about the next thing. You need garden tools. And that can include a watering can or a hose. That's what you do when you have a garden. They are just different to have a garden, and you want to be able to have the tools that you need to grow what you want. Gardens are wonderful, and they are not always easy. I know I've planted gardens before and had both great results and failures. And yeah, I could not tell so much why I had a great result or a failure. I just know that I wish it was a little different. And so what it takes to become a gardener that can produce your own food, I think it would be pretty hard. It's not going to be easy. But you just get to look at that for yourself and see what it is that you are going to do to prepare. I don't have the answer. I just mean that you probably are not going to get the results you want if you plant a garden and expect to have a good yield the first year. So do some practice. Try to figure out what you need to do to make your garden productive. Well, it's all a matter of seeing what is the most valuable for you to do, and you don't know what the real answers are, and neither do I. But I know that there are people who are going to tell you they know what to do, and they know what to tell you to do. It might be a person on the radio. It might be somebody who says they have a preparedness thing or a survival group. It might be somebody from the government. Whatever it is, whoever it is, you have to use your discretion. You have to use your discernment and try to figure out what it is that is going on. Another thing that's going on is there have been products put onto our market with cricket protein added to it. You know what they do? They grow crickets by the millions, and they grind up those dead crickets, and they call it cricket flour, and they put it into your food to increase the protein content of your food. So you have to be aware of that. The crickets can also have body parts on them that can make a person allergic to what it is the crickets are made of. And you have to be aware of that, whether you're young or old. It happens sometime, and you just want to be aware of what the ingredients are, and you might want to be very comfortable in what you grow and eat, because eating your own things that you grow out of your garden is no doubt the very best that you can do. So have a few fruit trees, have some garden and garden tools, and a way to water your garden. It's all a good idea. It's always a surprise when your garden fails. I remember seeing plants that I had grown just disappear, one right after the other. And it was gophers. The gophers ate the roots of the plant and then ate the plant. It quite an experience to see the garden that you've grown and cared for to just be disappearing right in front of your eyes. I think there were about 8 plants that just disappeared like that. So that's what I mean. Your garden will take a little experience to get to the point that you want it to. And that means that you can start your garden soon so that you can get the results you want with what you grow. And that's just plain It's just a good idea. Get some practice at what you're doing, and that will be good for you. Remember the heritage seeds. That's a really good idea. You probably will have to order them. Yes, you can buy them from a normal store or a hardware store, but it's nice to have a choice of a dozen of them from the hardware store. You could have a choice of 50 of them or 100 if you get a seed catalog or get it through the internet. It's just a very interesting thing, so give it a look and see what you can do. There are just so many, many things that you can do to be self-sufficient. Speaking of self-sufficient, this was kind of interesting. Oh, this was maybe a year ago. It's a true story. I was asked to help my neighbor. He had some repairs on his chicken house to do. And he said, could I watch the chickens in his temporary pen while he was doing the repairs on the chicken house? And I said, yeah, sure, that'd be great. So after about 4 hours of watching those chickens do nothing, sort of, well, they were just mean chickens. But 4 hours after watching the chickens, I just kind of wondered, why am I watching these dumb chickens? They're getting along just fine. I don't have to watch the chickens, do I? I mean, the sun was getting warm. I had really nothing to do except watching those chickens. And so I just kind of questioned, what was I doing? Watching chickens? Okay, well, that's what I was doing. And so that got done. The chicken house got repaired. The chickens got put back into the chicken house. And my neighbor thanked me very much. But I thought, yeah, why? As I was watching the chickens, they're not getting out. There's no animals coming to eat them. Why am I watching the chickens? And then I got to thinking, chickens and eggs were a part of this man's diet. So it kind of made sense that I would watch the chickens. And they were important to him. They were, in effect, they were life, because we need to eat. And so keeping those chickens alive and laying eggs was a very important thing to do. And in fact, if we ever had a survival situation, keeping the chickens alive would be essential. And so I thought about how glad I was to be helping my neighbor. And this was actually an important thing to do, to preserve your food in the form of chickens and the eggs that they lay. So that was an interesting and good experience for me, because I saw how good that was. Now, today I'm repeating that story to you because I've heard about the U.S. authorities that were directing chicken and egg growers, developers, farms, that if they had detected bird flu in just a couple of 20 or 30 laying hens, they would or could be required to kill the whole flock. And let's see, there were about a million and a half birds laying chickens that have been destroyed this year because there was bird flu detected. So that's a lot of chickens to be killed, and you just have to wonder, are we going to have an egg shortage? Are we going to have a shortage of chicken meat because of this? It's these things that we really don't think through to see what our decisions mean. We let the government say, destroy your flock, and if you don't do what you're told, you won't get the business write-off to write off the loss of your chickens. It's just a big thing. And so what are we going to do about the loss of chickens in our society? Might not mean much to you because we have enough to eat right now, but if we ever have a shortage of eggs or chicken, or for that matter, turkey in these days of Thanksgiving and Christmas, what are we going to do? It's a good question. So just have some thoughts about what's going on. Well, we have lots of concerns, not just eggs and chickens. We have concerns about, they're still pushing the COVID-19 vaccine, and there still are doctors and researchers who don't like that the vaccines and boosters are said to contain graphene oxide. Now, this is something that is under debate, because there's people who say it's true, and there's people who say it is not true. Do they really contain graphene oxide? Well, there's a kind of a theory that 20% of the vaccines have ingredients in them like graphene oxide. Of course, it's one of those things that make it really hard to tell, because it's not everybody who can test for these things. And so I'm not a researcher like that. I can't tell you that they do. All I can say is there are researchers who say that the graphene oxide inflames skin and tissues, which could be an explanation of why the vaccine is associated with heart and coronary and pulmonary problems, or why there are athletes who are suddenly dying. It's something that we don't know the answer to. It's just that these are indicators. So do you want to take a chance? Sure, go ahead, take a chance, but I'm not inclined to. Now, there's no long-term studies on all of these questions, and we do want to live a long and healthy life. How long? It's all different. You know what? If a person lives 30 years or 70 years or 170 years, in a way, it doesn't matter, because the biggest important thing is knowing Jesus, so that on the day of judgment, when you die, you will be with Jesus in that heavenly place. So long life or not, the same results happen. We all die. Do you want to have your eternal security in a heavenly place with Jesus? Or do you want to live your life and have unknown situation? It's a question we all make the decision about. Do we accept Jesus and his gift to us of forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven and not hell? It's all a question. I can't tell you I know the answers for you. I sure know the answers for me. And I think of, I talked about this once. There was a fellow who was a Satanist, actually, and he was in an Illuminati family, and he gave his testimony, and you could hear what he was talking about, that he became a born-again, sold-out follower of Jesus Christ. And because he was, he talked to everybody, including his ex-family. Well, they were still his family, but they had completely different beliefs. Anyway, he talked to many people, and he knew what would happen to people who became Christian. They were killed. That's what happened. And so he expected that to happen for him, to be killed because he became a Christian. Oh, quite an interesting testimony. And that's the kind of thing which I say, in a way, it doesn't matter how long we live. It only matters if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that's what I was thinking of just now, is that we want to know Jesus. We want to belong to Jesus. And that is exactly what we do. Well, when I guess it takes a little bit of commitment to do that. But certainly that's what I do. And I think there's so many people out there who say and know that Jesus is the only way. And they find comfort in that. And there's miracles that have happened to people who have that same strong belief, and we say, yes, Lord, how can I serve you today? That's the kind of thing that goes on with faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And we say, yes, Lord. And we're so glad to have a relation, a born-again relation with Jesus Christ. And that's what it says, the Bible, you have to be a born-again believer to see the kingdom of heaven. So hooray, let's do it. Let's say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I will follow you. So that's what I think about with all these little things. Sometimes as we go through life, we have different situations arise. And we try to be faithful. We say, yes, Lord, and do the best we know how. I don't know how to say it any different than that. If you want more information, please read it out of the Bible. The Bible is full of understanding and will tell you just what to do about this or that situation. It's wonderful. The Bible is such a good book to read. It's just outstanding. I've read it a few times, and that actually turned me into a follower of Jesus Christ, and I changed my life, and I certainly hope everyone will read the Bible, because I know what it did for me. It was just wonderful to have that experience and knowledge and see what faith in God would do through Jesus Christ. So yeah, I hope everybody reads the Bible. It's absolutely wonderful. And there's other things, of course, we have to be concerned with as we go through life. There's life. And we live in a blessed country, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. We still have things that go on. And we still have a government that we are responsible for, because it's the government of we the people. There's the Constitution of the United States, which is really good to read. There's the Declaration of Independence, really good to read. I'm going to read to you the opening paragraph to the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cases which compel them to the separation. So that's how America spoke about the separation, the Declaration of Independence from England. It was a matter of, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands with another. So that's kind of a thing. We might even have that happen in today's world with us, when we find that something or someone is being ungodly in a way that we cannot understand or accept, and we have to go our own way being faithful to God. So these are the kind of things that we can be faced with today, and we want to say, yes, Lord, because yes, Lord, is the whole answer to what we want to do no matter what. It's not like we have sure answers, but we have to rely on our understanding and how we live out God's word, the Bible. It takes a little bit of study, and there's no way to go around it except to say it takes some doing to have this happen, and that means we have to study. study to show ourselves approved. Study the Bible, God's Word, and then figure out how to apply it in life. And that is what we do. And that's why these founding documents are so important to what we do, is because they have a bearing on how we react with the rest of the people in our life, whether it's political, economic, or family. That's just what we do. So that was kind of a nice thing to be reminded of, the Declaration of Independence. Oh, here's the Constitution of the United States. I'm just going to read the first paragraph of that. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for a common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So you know how many people swear an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And I hate to think of the people who have not even read the Constitution. It is a great piece of work, just wonderful, and I think that each one of us can just look to it and read it again in a time that we can dwell on what it really says. It says a lot. It says a lot about the powers of each state and what they can do. It tells a lot about what the people can do. Here's one. I always liked Clause 1, Section 8. It describes that our money shall be specie, which means it shall be a precious or a semi-precious metal. That is one of the things that we have all forgotten about and just overlooked, that this is what we do as our Constitution requires. And that would mean that we would not have fiat money. How wonderful that would be, and we would not have the kind of inflation that we're seeing right now with a government that has, in my opinion, caused this inflation. So we just go on and we try to understand so that we can live wisely and according to biblical principles. That is really what we always want to do, because we are guided by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is talked about in the Bible. He tells us what to do, and we say, yes, Lord. That's what I hope it is. Because there's events that could happen. We could have a war. That could happen. What would happen then? Well, with all the shortages that would happen from a big war, we could have shortages that would change our lifestyle greatly. We would have farming catastrophes. Oh, but another farming catastrophe would be if there was a big volcano. And that happened in Indonesian volcanoes. So if there was an event that put much dust and smoke into the atmosphere, we might lose 40% of the sunlight that reaches Earth, and therefore our crops would also lose at least 40% of their yield. And so we just have to be careful about having what we need to survive. Have a storehouse. Have a little bit of food so that you can protect yourself and your family from whatever is coming. And then keep Jesus in your life. Remember to reflect on the biblical principles for what we can learn and how we can live. If you're going to have that storehouse, have drinking water and a good water filter, have food or long-term food. It might be grain. It might be wheat and corn. Who knows? But there's all things that you have to remember to examine. You might want some spices. Sure, salt and pepper. You might like some other specialty spices. So get them too. It's relatively inexpensive to have the plain and basic food, but you sure might want to look into what it is that you can do, what you would want to do. Well, I'm very glad for everyone who listens to Christ Today on the radio. Remember that you can have other broadcasts of Christ Today that you can listen to by going to www.christtoday.org. And you can also reach me by going to, you can write me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you know, I'm always glad to have a correspondence. And another thing I'm always glad for is donations. So if you would like to support the broadcast costs that I have, I would just love to have any donation that you would send. And I thank you for that. Again, you can reach me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I hope you enjoy this time of year with your family and your friends and the things that are going on in the world with family and friends. I mean, this is a way that we show our love for people, including our family and friends. So please just remember to praise Jesus as you go through everything around us. And that means giving him thanks and just being grateful to God for the many blessings that God has provided you with. Everything. So, God bless you, and thank you very much for listening today.
To every nation, yeah. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live inside your glory, glory now. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live my life inside your glory, glory now. Father, how you love me. Give me shelter and cover me with your mercy. You are moving all around us. We are kneeling, desperately seeking your face, your way. Shine your light
Welcome to Preparedness Thoughts with John Stephenson. John understands the importance of being prepared. Through rain, rocks, and snow, he has seen it all and survived. He has seen major disasters like Mount St. Helens and how vehicles were stopped in the street from the volcanic ash. Earthquakes, too, including the Loma Prieta earthquake, which felt like it wouldn't stop shaking. People were without electricity and could not hardly buy groceries or gasoline. The homeless lit bonfires in the streets. The Bay Bridge and other freeways were broken. God only knows what will be next.
Welcome to Preparedness Thoughts by John Stephenson. We invite Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to guide us as we examine how our preparations can be used to preserve the life of ourselves, our family, and others. In my life as a civilian, I have been adventurous, and so I have seen a variety of troubles, both for me and for other people. I have seen injury and serious injury, and once there was even a death. And I will tell you that no one wants to have trouble, and this is why we take preparedness steps to avoid serious problems. And you know that just going through life, there will be problems, and we just want to avoid the serious problems. And that's why I always want to have my basic needs covered. And for me, those are water, food, and warmth. And after this, the list of what you want can be very long or not so long. We each get to choose what is on our own personal preparedness list. For instance, for me, after water, food, and warmth, I have a small flashlight with an extra battery, a simple first aid kit, which includes cloth medical tape, surgical pads, and triple antibiotic ointment. It also includes a small Swiss Army pocket knife with scissors and tweezers. There's a pain or fever reducing pill, an antihistamine pill, and a water purification tablet or two, and a compass, and a watchman's cap, which covers the ears, and lastly, something to carry those few items in. I also have a little bit of string, and that string or rope can tie my jacket to my small backpack or fanny pack. So your list of whatever you carry can be very small, but some of those little things help a great deal if you need them. The other thing that you can put in your little carry pack is a little bit of food and water. Now, that can be snacks, that can be real nourishing food. We all have our different way of doing it. Different ideas and different contents are what everyone has. And for some people, you will have other things like a knife sharpener or nail clippers, or it might even be lipstick and a scarf and a sunbonnet. I mean, we all have a different list, and no one needs to apologize for the things that is on their list and what they want to take. It's just that you have to take care of whatever you have. So that's my little personal list. And if I'm traveling by car, I have a few more of the same kind of things, plus a minor car repair kit, like fix-a-flat, extra fluids, fan belts, fuses, and light bulbs. But we all have different things, and that's what we do. We figure out what we need. And always, it is better to have something than nothing. This is episode 84. Start your preparations now before there is an urgent need and what you want is hard to find. Remember to give thanks to God for the blessings that you do have.
Your letters with questions or donations are important. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Email prepareforgod@usa.com. Thank you for listening to Preparedness Thoughts on KKXX.
Soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.